Let me ask you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and just leave your Bible open right there. How did it ever get this crazy? Ananias and his wife Sapphira were New Testament Christians. They were members of the church at Jerusalem. This Christian couple, Ananias and Sapphira, owned a piece of property. Under no command, under no directive from the church, Ananias and Sapphira got together and sold that property that they owned. Having sold it, then under collusion, they kept back part of the money from the property. And they took the rest of the money and they gave it to the apostles. The problem is that they represented to the apostles that the money we are giving you is all the money we received from the sale of the property. They own the property. It was their property. No one asked them to sell it. They were under no order from anyone to sell it. But they sold it. And then they took some of it and kept it back for themselves. And then they came before the church and said, look, this is all we got for the property. We are giving it all. So the Apostle Peter, in Acts 5, confronts Ananias with this. In verse 3 of Acts 5, Peter said to Ananias, why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart to tell such a lie? In verse 4 of Acts 5, Peter said to Ananias, how is it that you have contrived this in your heart to do such a thing? Now look at verse 5 of Acts 5. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. The expression breathed his last comes from a compound word. It means soul out. His soul came out of him and thus he died. So members of the church gathered up his dead body and took it out and buried it. Look carefully at verse 7. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. His wife, Sapphira, was not notified of her husband's death. Thus, she did not attend his funeral. Drop down to verse 9 and 10. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, The feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet, and her soul came out of her. How did this ever reach this point? How did this ever get so low? How did this ever get so out of hand? Look what you have here. You have two people. You have a husband and a wife. You have a Christian couple. They are struck dead. They are struck dead in the assembly. They are struck dead in the assembly by God. How did this ever get this crazy? What happened here? How do you have such a scene? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at the context of this. And I'm going to show you exactly why what happened happened. The context reveals it. Then, when we learn that, we're going to come off of the context, and I'm going to share with you two observations from what's going on here. Now, let's go back up and get the context. So go back up with me to verse 1. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. And in fact, what we want here is the very first word in the chapter. The chapter begins, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Most all translations start this chapter with the word but. That word but is telling us that what happens here in Acts chapter 5 is based on what has happened in the previous chapter, Acts chapter 4. The word but here is a contrast word. The word but here is contrasting the greed of Ananias and Sapphira with the generosity of a man named Barnabas. Go back now up into chapter 4, verse 36 and verse 37. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, verse 37, he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When Barnabas made this offer of generosity to the church, Ananias and Sapphira saw how the church reacted to what Barnabas did. So what Ananias and Sapphira wanted is that Ananias and Sapphira wanted the church to look at them like the church was looking at Barnabas. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the church to look at them like, oh, look how spiritual they are. Look how encouraging they are. Oh, look at how generous they are. The problem is that the motive of Ananias and Sapphira was not love. The motive of Ananias and Sapphira was not obedience. Listen to me. Their motive was look at us. Their motive was look how Christian we are. Their motive was take a look at us. Now here's the statement. This whole mess started with two people who wanted to be recognized. The whole mess started with two people who wanted to be, they wanted to be seen as something they were not. But they got what they wanted. They've been recognized for 2,000 years. They've been recognized for their lies. They've been recognized for their pride. They've been recognized for their greed. Listen. There are two dead bodies here. There are two graves here, and there is a church here that is an absolute shock. How did this ever get this crazy? You understand what I'm saying? This whole ordeal. We're going to sell us land. Nobody asked them to do that. They did that on their own. Nobody told them to give it to the church. They did that on their own. They kept back part of it. Listen, they had every right to keep back part of it. It was theirs. They simply represented what they were giving as all of it. And that's what caused this whole mess. Two people want to be recognized. They want to be seen for something that they are not. And so many times over all of these years, there are events that get completely out of control. People completely lose their mind spiritually. And when you go back and cut the root out, it's over something that's nothing. Two observations. Observation number one. How did it ever get this crazy? Let's look at places where we see this. Let's look at places where initially it's not a big deal at all. And then it ends in total disaster. Number one, it happens with a person who becomes addicted to drugs. Now I'm going to tell you something. And if you don't believe this, you just not believing the truth. What I'm telling you right now, this isn't 100%. But I'm telling you, this is it more than it's not it. Most of the time, this addiction begins with nothing more than curiosity. Curiosity. We're out with friends. We want to have a good time. We're looking for something to do. We don't mean any harm to anybody. And one of the somebodies that you're out there with has drugs. He has something you can stick in your nose or stick in your arm. You don't mean no evil by it. We're just curious. Wonder what would happen if. We just want to have fun. So you do it. Now what? Now you're addicted. Now you're addicted. So now what? Well, so now we got to have more. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to start doing things we never thought it was possible that we'd ever do. We're going to start stealing. And we're not just going to steal from strangers. We're going to steal from family. We're going to throw mama under the bus if it'll get us what we want. And before this is over, you may lose your marriage. You will lose some friends. You may lose your kids. You may lose your job. And what's absolutely as certain as the blue sky above, your life is going to splinter apart. It's going to come in disaster. And at the end of this thing, you're going to ask yourself, how did this ever get this crazy? How did I ever get to this place? The devil can take something as innocent as curiosity and destroy you. Where do we see this? Where do we see this? What are the places where this stuff just splinters out of control? A second place you see it is a person who has a lifelong friend. Are you listening? This person's been your friend forever. Maybe you went through school together, middle school, high school. You've known each other forever. You grow up together. You've gone through the good times. You fought through the bad times in life, but you've always been together. And then one day, there was a disagreement between the two of you. And the disagreement carried over. Tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month. Why does it carry over? The reason the disagreement just keeps going and keeps festering and keeps getting worse the longer it's going is because of pride. One is too proud to look at the other and say, listen, this isn't us. This isn't us. But we just keep it going. So now, best friends forever, and now you're not speaking. Now your families aren't speaking to each other. And you look at where the two of you used to be, and you look at where you are now, and you're thinking, listen, how did this get so crazy? Pride. Where are the places that we see this? You know where we see this? We see this in the church. We see this with a person who is a Christian. A person obeys the gospel of Christ. They come out of the world. They come out of that mess. They have no idea that any place in the world was like the church. Out of the world they come and in, and they're excited. And they can't wait to come to the assembly, and they worship, and they love the brethren, and everything is good, and they look forward to it, and they love you, and they love me, and they love the Lord. And then what happens is a tragedy comes. And so maybe your prayers weren't answered the way you wanted them to be answered. Maybe a loved one died. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe somebody broke your heart. But this tragedy happened. Listen to me. Listen, look. I'm just trying to help you. You get mad at me, you mad at somebody who's trying to help you. Tragedy happens, and that causes their faith to waver. Now the joy is gone. Now the sermon is just empty words. Now the brethren that you love so dearly, all them folk, they're just a bunch of hypocrites down there. So now where are you going? You know where you're going? You're going back out there where you came from. You know what's out there? Same thing that you left from out there. And when you go out there this time, what's going to happen is the same time when you were out there before. What happened, the more you get of what you want out there, the less you want of what you get out there. I don't think I could ever say that sentence yet. That sentence was great. Amen. I don't mean the sentence, I mean this. Tragedy. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Here's what I'm telling you. This is how the cycle of sin works. This is how it works. You get in that cycle of sin, something as simple as curiosity, as pride, as tragedy, or a million other things. You get in that cycle, and that sin will just take you down, and it will take you down. And here's what sin will always do. Sin will always move you away from what you held dear. I know what I'm talking about. Way too long I've been doing that. Sin will always take you away from what you hold dear. Now, how did it ever get this crazy? Now, let me make something very clear about this question. And this is the second observation. There are answers to that question. How do things just splinter and just, it's like a snowball going down a hill. It's just getting larger, and you end up out there in the world doing things that today you think is impossible I could do. Here's how it all gets this crazy. Number one, we stop paying attention to our soul. That's how it happens. Brethren, this is how the devil snags us. This is how the devil snags us. This is how he gets us. The devil gets us to focus on the pleasure and not the consequences of sin. Pay attention to your soul. Over and over and over, the Bible encourages us to pay attention, to be alert. What I mean is to be spiritually alert, to be alert in your soul. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, that is spiritually be awake, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion looking to devour somebody. Moses said in Numbers chapter 32 and in verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your spirit. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 26th verse, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said again in Matthew 10 and in verse 28, fear not him who is able to kill the body but has no power over the soul, but rather fear him who can kill both body and soul. We have to pay attention to our souls. Listen, do you think Ananias and Sapphira were paying attention to their soul when they dreamed up that lie they were going to tell everybody? How did it get this out of hand? How did this get this crazy? Individuals just blow up. Families just blow up. What happens? We stop paying attention to our souls. How did it get this crazy? You know the answer to that? We stop paying attention to Jesus. We stop paying attention to Jesus. Here's what we do. We stop having pure thoughts. We stop living holy. We stop forgiving. We stop loving. And then sin gets a hold of us. And it takes us down, and it takes us down, and it takes us down. And it just keeps taking us down. And if you don't believe that, you need to talk to Ananias and Sapphira about that. It's incredible. It is. This is incredible that two people are struck dead in an assembly of the church by God. What on earth did they do? They believed the devil's lie and kept going with it. They believed the devil's lie and kept going with it. How does our lives blow up on us? We stop paying attention to our soul. We stop paying attention to Jesus. The third answer to this question is we stop paying attention to where sin ends. The wages of sin is death. Do you realize that sin pays you? Sin pays you a wage. Sin gives you a check. But the check is written out to death. But we're not looking at that. We're curious and we want to have a good time. Be careful. A lot of good times will send you to hell. You're welcome. Listen. Sin kills relationships. Sin kills your relationship with God. Sin kills your relationship to your fellow Christians. Sin kills your influence. Every single responsible person yields an influence. There is no life, hear me, there is no life that is so obscure that it doesn't yield an influence. The question is it good or is it bad? I did a funeral. An elderly Christian lady had died. At the funeral service, before it started, I'm standing in the front next to the lady who had deceased, old lady. And a granddaughter came up to me. She was grown. And she said something to me, I will never, ever forget this sentence. She came up to me and she pointed to Grandma and she said, it was so much easier to do right when Grandma was here. My knees buckled when she said that to me. It was so much easier to do right when Grandma was here. You know what that is? That's influence. That's influence. And if we don't pay attention, if we don't pay attention, sin kills everything in its path. Let me close with this. Does the name Roland Stewart mean anything to anybody? You know Roland Stewart. Roland Stewart, for years, on his own dime, out of his own pocket, every week during football season, would go to the nationally televised game, wherever it was. Roland Stewart would go during basketball season to every national televised game, spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars traveling to these places. And he would always get a seat at the football game behind the end zone. And he would always get a seat at the basketball game behind the rim, the backboard. Roland Stewart was the guy who, for years, when they would score a touchdown, an extra point, or a field goal, would hold up the sign, John 3:16. Remember? That's Roland Stewart. That's Roland Stewart. Millions of people became familiar with John 3:16 because every week he put it in their face. But we haven't heard from Roland Stewart in a long time. because Roland Stewart is serving three consecutive life sentences in prison. What is my point? My point is that we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. The devil will get you by the throat with both hands and you still won't know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you this. When sin gets done with you, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be empty. And you're going to be lost. But God has a plan. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and live it to the full. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't have to be that crazy. Wherever you are, wherever you've come from to get here, whatever you're involved in, you can stop it. You can stop it. Come to God. Let God help you. Listen, the height of foolishness is to leave here and not get this right. Do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.